Welcome to episode 4 of The Science Behind Quality Peptides. I'm your host, Lena Carter, and with me today is Dr. Samuel Clark, a molecular biologist known for his deep insights into peptide integrity and biochemical formulation. Today's episode explores a subject at the very core of research reliability, peptide stability. And we're zooming in on one of the industry's most trusted brands, BC9. Ever wonder how these delicate molecules survive shipping, storage, and shelf time while staying research ready? That's exactly what we're unpacking. From temperature control protocols and proprietary formulation techniques to lyophilization and purity retention methods, we're diving into the behind-the-scenes science that BC9 uses to preserve biological activity in every vial. Whether you're running short-term experiments or multi-phase long-haul studies, peptide stability can make or break your outcomes. So this isn't just about science, it's about ensuring your research stays valid, reproducible, and safe. So if you care about molecule activity, purity assurance, and real results, grab your notebook because we're pulling back the curtain on the techniques, technologies, and principles that BC9 uses to keep peptides stable, consistent, and research grade from lab to bench. Let's get into it. Okay, let's unpack this fundamental challenge right out of the gate. Peptides are, well, they're truly incredible tools in various research applications, you know, from exploring intricate cell signaling pathways to understanding tissue repair mechanisms. They hold immense promise, but they come with a significant and I think often underappreciated catch. They are inherently fragile. It's almost like working with a precision-engineered instrument that can be thrown off by the slightest environmental tremor. Even a minor mishap in handling or storage, it seems, can compromise their efficacy and in turn render an entire research protocol pretty much ineffective. For anyone working in a lab, this represents a substantial and persistent challenge.
Yes, what's fascinating here is getting to the root of that fragility, the actual chemical reasons behind it. You see, peptides are essentially short chains of amino acids linked together by what we call peptide bonds. Now, unlike, say, a robust small molecule drug, these bonds are remarkably susceptible to degradation. We're talking about hydrolysis, which is, you know, breaking down by water. Exactly. And oxidation from exposure to air,
yeah.
And even enzymatic degradation if there happen to be environmental contaminants present.
Mm.
This inherent instability is a really crucial distinction when you compare them to, say, bulkier proteins, which often have more complex, folded, three-dimensional structures that offer a degree of sort of self-protection.
Right, more robust.
Or those chemically robust small molecule drugs we mentioned. Peptides can rapidly lose their intended structure and, critically, their biological activity if they aren't properly stabilized. And for you, the researcher, this has direct and profound implications.
Yeah.
You could be looking at a significant loss of data integrity, wasted valuable resources, the generation of potentially false, negative, or inconsistent results.
Which is a disaster in research.
It absolutely is. And the development of unreliable dosing models. In research environments where reproducibility and accuracy aren't just goals, but, well, necessities, peptide degradation can, quite literally, derail entire projects, wasting months or even years of dedicated work.
Wow. That really puts the challenge into stark relief. It's not merely an inconvenience. It can undermine the very foundation of scientific discovery. So if we know these molecules are so susceptible, what exactly are the primary environmental culprits? The things that scientists are constantly battling to keep these molecules stable, what are the factors that can quickly turn a perfectly synthesized peptide into, well, inert material?
Well, we can indeed break them down systematically, and it's a pretty comprehensive list. First, and perhaps the most commonly considered, is temperature. Peptides are particularly vulnerable to heat.
Right. Heat speeds things up, generally.
It does, but it's not just about them getting warm. High temperatures don't just accelerate molecular motion. They can cause irreversible denaturation.
Denaturation. Right. So the structure just unravels.
Precisely. The delicate peptide structure can unravel. They also rapidly accelerate those hydrolysis and oxidation reactions we just discussed. And what's often overlooked is that even relatively short-term exposure to common room temperature can be problematic for some highly sensitive peptides. This is why careful temperature control during transit and storage is absolutely vital.
Okay, so temperature is number one. What's next?
Second on our list is pH. Peptides, like many biological molecules, have very specific optimal pH ranges where their structure is most stable and their activity is highest. Straying too far from this preferred pH, whether the environment becomes too acidic or too basic, can cause rapid breakdown.
How does that happen? Does it just break the bonds?
Essentially, yes. These extreme pH environments can directly catalyze the hydrolysis of peptide bonds, effectively cleaving the molecule apart.
Okay, so watch the pH. Got it. What else?
Third, we have light. It's surprising to some, but many peptides are quite light sensitive. This vulnerability is particularly true for those containing specific amino acids like tryptophan or tyrosine.
Oh, interesting. Specific amino acids matter there.
They do. They're prone to a process called photodegradation. Exposure to ultraviolet, UV light in particular, can trigger significant structural breakdown. But even prolonged exposure to visible light, especially intense sources, can contribute to their degradation over time.
Right, so keep them in the dark, basically.
Ideally, yes.
Okay.
Fourth, and a very significant threat, is oxidation. This is a major concern, particularly for peptides that contain sulfur-containing amino acids, such as methionine and cysteine.
Ah, you mentioned those earlier, the sulfur ones.
Exactly. These specific amino acids are highly susceptible to oxidation, meaning they react unfavorably with oxygen. This risk is especially high if the peptides are exposed to ambient air or are stored in non-airtight containers. Oxidation can drastically alter their chemical structure, often leading to a complete loss of their intended biological function.
Okay, so air is the enemy for those specific types.
It can be, yes. And finally, moisture. This ties directly back to hydrolysis, that breakdown by water we talked about.
Yeah.
Even a minuscule amount of moisture can significantly accelerate hydrolytic degradation.
So not just liquid water, but humidity too.
Absolutely. You don't necessarily need liquid water. Even humidity present in the air can be enough over time to cause peptides to break down. It truly is a constant battle against the surrounding environment to maintain their integrity.
Wow. Temperature, pH, light, oxidation, moisture.
That's a truly comprehensive breakdown of the challenges. It really highlights just how complex it is to maintain these delicate molecules in their pristine, research-ready condition. It makes you wonder how any supplier manages to reliably deliver them, which I guess is precisely why leading companies in the field are implementing incredibly advanced strategies to overcome these very issues. They approach peptide stability not as some afterthought, but as a, you know, cornerstone of their entire quality assurance process.
Right.
Exactly. To protect bioactivity and molecular integrity, a multi-layered approach is absolutely essential, and we see companies like BC9 implementing strategies that really set a high bar for the industry. First, and maybe one of the most critical methods, is lyophilized or freeze-dried formulation. This company ships all its peptides in lyophilized powder form, which is widely recognized as the gold standard for preserving peptide stability.
Freeze-dried. Okay, like instant coffee, but for peptides.
Uh-huh, sort of. The freeze-drying process, lyophilization, removes moisture by sublimation. It turns ice directly into vapor without ever heating the product. This directly protects against both hydrolysis and denaturation. The immense benefit here for you, the researcher, is long-term stability without the need for refrigeration during transit, which dramatically increases the chances of receiving a higher integrity peptide upon arrival.
That makes a huge difference for shipping, I bet.
Definitely. Then, beyond the formulation itself, the packaging plays a crucial role. They use airtight, light-blocking vials. This means amber-colored glass vials.
Oh, the brown glass.
Exactly. They're specifically chosen because they effectively protect the contents against light exposure, especially that damaging UV radiation. Each vial is also meticulously sealed with a tight closure to prevent both oxidation and moisture intrusion. This ensures that the compounds are protected from light-induced degradation, leading to lab-grade consistency and preservation from the moment they leave the facility.
Okay, so the vial itself is a protective layer.
A critical one. And for truly sensitive compounds, some suppliers, including BC9, go a step further with nitrogen flush packaging. For select high-sensitivity peptides, this process involves actively removing oxygen from the vial before it's sealed.
Pushing the air out with nitrogen.
Precisely. This dramatic reduction in oxygen within the vial significantly lowers the risk of oxidative damage, which is especially vital for maintaining the molecular integrity of those sulfur-containing peptides we discussed earlier.
That sounds quite specialized.
It is, for the ones that really need it. Now, while freeze-dried peptides are generally robust at room temperature, sophisticated suppliers understand that some researchers might need extra assurance. So, cold chain logistics are often available upon request.
Like refrigerated shipping.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
For particularly temperature-sensitive compounds, or maybe during periods of extreme heat, this provides an added layer of security, especially for sensitive or custom peptide orders, giving you peace of mind that your compounds are protected, even during extended transits.
Good to have that option. What about checking the stability itself?
Excellent point. The commitment extends well beyond packaging to rigorous stability testing and batch verification. Leading companies, like BC9, conduct extensive internal stability testing on each batch over set timeframes and under various simulated storage conditions. They proactively monitor for any signs of degradation, discoloration, or shifts in molecular weight. This is done using advanced analytical tools such as high-performance liquid chromatography, HPLC, mass spectrometry, MS, and UVVIS spectrometry.
So they're actually testing how long it stays good.
Yes, under specific conditions. What this means for you is that you receive only the most stable, thoroughly tested batches, ensuring greater consistency and reliability across your research experiments.
That consistency is key.
It is. And finally, a truly transparent and responsible approach includes proper labeling and handling instructions. This company provides detailed labeling on every peptide vial. This includes optimal long-term storage temperatures, typically -20°C.
The freezer.
Usually, yes. Mm-hmm. Precise reconstitution advice and clear stability timelines both before and, importantly, after reconstitution. This level of transparency and guidance is invaluable for researchers, helping to prevent common handling mistakes and contributing significantly to better, more reproducible lab outcomes.
That's a truly comprehensive and meticulous set of measures, isn't it? It highlights the scientific rigor involved in just getting a stable product into a researcher's hands. It's not just about synthesis, it's about safeguarding the molecule every single step of the way. But what happens once the peptide arrives at the lab and you, the researcher, are ready to prepare it for your experiment? So what does this all mean for stability after reconstitution? That's when the parameters shift, and as you said earlier, the clock starts ticking, right?
Precisely. That's a great way to put it. Once you reconstitute a lyophilized peptide by dissolving it in a solvent, its stability profile fundamentally changes. It transitions from a highly stable, dry powder to a solution that's now much more susceptible to degradation. Mm. Companies like BC9 provide crucial guidance here. Generally, they recommend storing reconstituted peptides at 2°C.
So standard refrigeration.
Standard refrigeration, yes. It's also absolutely vital to use strict sterile techniques during the reconstitution process to avoid introducing any microbial contamination, which can rapidly degrade the peptide. Bacteria love peptides.
Ah, good point. Keep it clean.
Very clean. And a key piece of advice for managing reconstituted peptides is to avoid repeated freeze-thaw cycles. This is a common mistake that can physically stress the peptide structure, leading to aggregation and significant loss of activity.
So freezing and thawing over and over is bad.
Very bad for many peptides. Yeah. If you anticipate needing smaller amounts over an extended period, the best practice is definitely to split your reconstituted peptide solution into multiple smaller aliquots and store each separately in the freezer.
Okay, make single-use portions, aliquots.
Exactly. Most reconstituted peptides are stable for a period of 2 to 4 weeks when properly refrigerated, but and this is important, it is always, always critical to refer to the specific label on your individual vial, as some peptides have very different recommendations.
Check the label for that specific peptide. Makes sense.
Yes. And it's also worth noting that some peptides, particularly those frequently used in research like BPC-157, TB-500, and IGF-1-LR3, are known to have shorter post-reconstitution half-lives. For these more sensitive compounds, the advice is generally to minimize the time they spend outside of refrigerated storage to maintain their optimal efficacy and ensure consistent experimental results.
Okay, handle those quicker once they're dissolved.
That's the idea. Maximize their active time.
So it's really clear that companies prioritizing quality put an incredible amount of effort into these meticulous methods, right? From synthesis through to delivery and even providing that post-reconstitution guidance. It's not just about producing a peptide. It's about guaranteeing its integrity when it finally reaches your lab bench. And in scientific research, as you've pointed out, even slight deviations in product integrity can drastically skew results, often making all the difference between groundbreaking discoveries and, well, inconclusive, unreliable data.
Absolutely. This commitment to molecular integrity is precisely why certain brands, like BC9, have built such a trusted name among researchers. Your reputation isn't just about delivering a product. It's about unwavering consistency, which is just paramount in any scientific endeavor. They go above and beyond, ensuring lab-tested purity, typically at or above 98%.
Which is a very high standard.
It is, and a critical baseline. This purity is then complemented by high-stability packaging designed to withstand the rigors of transit and storage, combined with controlled environment warehousing to prevent any degradation even before shipping. Crucially, they also offer complete batch traceability and transparency. This means you, the researcher, know exactly what you're getting, batch to batch, and that level of assurance is priceless.
That traceability must be huge for long-term studies.
Immense. Whether researchers are working on, say, muscle recovery models with compounds like BPC-157, conducting intricate regenerative studies with TV-500, or exploring growth pathways with peptides such as CJC-1295, the stability of the peptide plays an absolutely massive and often decisive role in ensuring reliable and reproducible outcomes. The core message that resonates here, and something leading suppliers embody, is this: when your molecules stay active, your research stays powerful. It's about providing the fundamental reliability that cutting-edge science demands, enabling you to focus on the research questions, not worrying about the integrity of your reagents.
And that really brings us full circle on this deep dive. The critical, and I still think often understated, role of peptide stability in research really cannot be overstated. The commitment by companies like BC9 to these rigorous measures directly impacts scientific integrity and the pace of progress across countless fields. They're not just supplying compounds, they're enabling dependable science, one stable molecule at a time.
Yeah, and this raises an important question, maybe final thought for you, the researcher, to consider as you move forward. Peptides are undeniably driving innovation across biomedical, sports science, metabolic, and neurocognitive research. Their potential is immense, truly unlocking new understandings and solutions. But without proper, rigorous stability measures implemented at every single stage, from synthesis to shipping to how they're stored in your lab freezer, and finally to their precise usage in your experiment, their immense potential is simply wasted. Every single step in the peptide lifecycle matters for truly impactful scientific breakthroughs. It really is a holistic approach to quality that ensures your vital work is built on the most reliable foundation possible.